Okay, we're going to start right now from the second line of Chav Beis and Aleph. We're going to continue eating while we're learning. Itmar, it was stated as follows, following teaching. Kar v'shina v'shana v'lo shimish ha-mechamim. If a person who learns Torah, learns Mishnah, but he's not mishamish, a Rebbe, he doesn't like learn from a Rebbe, Rebbe Elazar Omer ha-reza am-ha-aretz. This is a simpleton. Rashi says over here, an am-ha-aretz, certain halachas of an am-ha-aretz, that you don't trust his tithing, his trumos and maestros. You don't trust him when it comes to rules of Tum and Tara. Just because Amar doesn't know everything. A person who learns a lot from the books, but is not Mishamish a person, you can assume that person doesn't really understand some of the deeper ideas. He's called an Amar. Shmuel bar Nachmani Omer Harei Zibur. This person is called someone who's an ignorant person, an ignoramus. Rashi says a boor is even worse than an Amar. Rabbi Yana Omer Harei Zekuti. This guy is called a Kuti. Again, a Kuti is a person who, the Kutim, were these groups of people who converted Judaism, but the question was it a valid conversion? They converted out of fear of attacking of lions, and when the Jews were not being attacked by the lions, so they converted, and the question is, do we view their conversion legitimately or not? We say some things we listen to them for, some things we don't listen to them for. Rashi points out over here that their Asr Barakuti, you can't eat his bread, you can't drink his wine, and again, the reason why is that they're certainly not Mishamish Tamil Chachamim, and they're not careful with what the Chachamim have to say. And a person, similarly, who's not a Mishamish Talmud Chacham, also we have to assume that there are things, he read books, but he's not aware of some of the halakhas of the Chachamim. He's not caring about being Mishamish to them and learning from them. And it must be that he also might not know all the halakhas that are pertaining to certain things, and therefore we stay away from some of his halakhic decisions. And therefore his home may not be fully kosher and accepted. Yeah, Aaron. It's based on the Gemara, it sounds like over here it's even worse. It sounds like we're going in descending order of goodness. Yeah. Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov Omer Harei Zeh Magosh. Magosh means it's like a magician. This person is like a magician. What does it mean, a magician? It means that Rashi explains it, is that he says certain things, like it's like, you know, you see things, but you don't always understand what's going on behind the scenes. Like, the guy fixed a car, you don't know how he did it. You don't know where he's coming from. It's like a little bit of sleight of hand. This guy also has sleight of hand. Why? Because on one hand, he looks like he's a real scholar. On the other hand, he has no value for the Chachamim. He does not mishamish them, and therefore his psak halacha, we can assume, is not valid. He says over here, he's goni v'levavos. He's goni, as Rashi here uses lashon. He's, lashon that Rashi here uses is the goni v'levavos. Again, a person who's a magician, he kind of like, you know, he sleight of hand, he tricks you. This guy also tricks you. Where else do we see the idea of goni v'salev? Where else do we see that? Remember that idea? We said someone was goni. Was that? Good, Avshalom, right? Avshalom was going into the lave three times, he said. He was going into the lave of his father, of the Jewish people. I forget who else. Who else? Going into his father, the Jewish people. I don't remember. But he had three, we gave him three, I think, things to the heart as a response to his three hearts that he was going into. End of the first parak. I forget who else he was going into. Is that who it was? Amcham? Here, let's see over here. It's Daf Tesmuk Beis. There's Gonev. Lev Aviv, Lev Beisdin, Lev Yisrael. Lev Beisdin and Yisrael. Okay. Fine. It says Gemara, Mistavar Kirav Achabar Yaakov, and he feels most, like Gemara over here, sorry, Amar of Nachmar Yitzhak. Mistavar, it seems logical that the definition of Achabar Yaakov gave were that the sixth line of Daf Chav Beis Amar Aleph. Of describing someone who's not Mishamish Talmud Chacham, like a magician, and that he's not real, he's fake. It seems like he's probably correct. The Amar Yitzchak, people say, Ratin Migusha Veloyada Mayamar, Tani Tana Veloyada Mayamar. That the magician chants, doesn't know what he's even saying, he's kind of like making up things. So too, this Tana is teaching, he doesn't know what he's saying either. He's reading from the books, he knows the books well, but he doesn't understand what he's really teaching and the message behind those laws, and therefore, the comparison of someone who learns Torah, learns Mishnah, very, very book smart, very well read, is very appropriate to compare it to a magician who chants words and doesn't know what he's talking about either. Okay. Tanur Rabbanan. Ezu Am'aretz, more discussion about what an Am'aretz is. How would someone define an Am'aretz? Again, there are halachic ramifications that we call it Am'aretz. Again, we mentioned beforehand, you don't trust their Trumos and Maestros, you don't trust their Tzumah and Tara. What does someone have to be an Amar? So, Kol She'ino Kori Kriyat Shema B'Shachris V'Arvis B'Rechoseh. They're ready, Mary. Mary says over here, someone who recites Kriyat Shema night and day. Sorry, he does not recite Kriyat Shema with its brachos. He doesn't. He doesn't. he's definitely, if he doesn't know how to do that, he doesn't know how to, as a basic level of tefillah, of Kriyat Shema, and the brachos that surround it, that person we would call an Amar, assuming that they also would not be reliable upon for Tumah and Tahara and for Trumos and Maisos. It's a very basic level of religion, of davening, connection they don't seem to have. The Chum say, Kol She'inu Meniach Tefillin. If you don't wear Tefillin, then we're going to call you an Amar. It's regarding the laws we said above, that we don't trust you in many other areas of Allah. But as they Omer, Kol She'inu Lo Tzitzis B'Bigdo. You don't wear Tzitzis on your clothing that demands it. Again, not that you don't wear a garment with Tzitzis on it. You have garments that are Chayvins, you don't wear Tzitzis on them. That would make you an Am Haaretz. You don't know the basic laws. B'Yodosan Metziosev Omer, Kol She'esh Lo Banim, V'Enim Agadim Tatat Lo Matorah. Unbelievable line here. Who's an Am Haaretz? Someone who has children, he doesn't raise them to learn Torah. He doesn't train his children, he doesn't raise his children to be Torah learners. That person is called an Am Haaretz. It means you don't have a care for the Mesorah that we have. Acherim Omer, Acherim State. Acherim say, Afilu Kori B'Shona, Lo Shimish Tam Lecham, raise Am Haaretz. We said above this idea as well. Even if you learn Chumash, you learn Mishnah, but you're not Mishamish Tamechavim, that would make you an Am Haaretz. Ironically, people often say that Acherim refers to Acher. Acher was Elisha ben Abuye, who himself went off the Derech. Went off the Derech himself. He has this whole book written in English called As a Driven Leaf by Milton Steinberg, where you can check the Gemara in Chagiga out, in the Yudal Tesvav area, where we had this Tana named Elisha ben Abuye, who was a peer of Rabbi Akiva, a Rebbe, a very mayor, and his life had some twists and turns, and he ended up going off the Derech. But over here you see, an Amar, someone who doesn't have him as Soroy, he's not Meshachar Tam Yechavim, that would make you an Amar Arts. Okay. Karvel Oshon Arei Zebur. Other people say that makes you an ignoramus. We said before that's even worse than Amar Arts. Lo Karvel Oshon. Sorry, that was Kar Velosh. That's what if you learn Torah but not Mishnah. You're even less than Amar, you're even a boor. And if you didn't do either, lo Kar Veloshana, love because of Omer, about you, the Torah says, or the Navi says, Zerati as Beis Yisrael, as Beis Yehuda, Zera Adam as Zera Behema. I sowed, I planted Beis Yisrael and Beis Yehuda, plantings of people and plantings of animals. So we see over here, you can be part of Beis Yisrael and Beis Yehuda and be called an animal. Who would get that definition? A person who doesn't learn at all, doesn't learn Torah, doesn't learn Mishnah, not Mishnah, 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 you don't do anything at all, that's called Zera Behema. You're no different than an animal at that point in time. If you're not going to be involved and engaged in the study of Torah and in the following and service of Tam Yechem, Mishnah, Mishnah, Mishnah. Okay. In a similar vein, Yireis Hashem B'ni, the Melech, V'im Shonim Al Tizarev. Fear Hashem, my son, my king, and with others, with shonim, with those who study, with those who learn, do not mix with, become mitarev, do not join together with. What does that refer to? What does this whole line mean? Amar b'yitzlag elu sheshonim halachos. People who learn halacha, this is over here, that's what it means over here, shonim, do not join them. Now over here, halachos means mishnayos. Again, we see shonim halachos over here, Rashi explains, it means that they learn, but they're not mishamish. Meaning, they learn the Mishnah, but they're not Mishamish to Talmud Chacham. That's people you should be stay away from. Or Yitzchak Elu Shonim Halachos, Shita. Of course. Meaning, what else could it mean? If you're learning, why would someone stay away from you? It must be you're learning, but you're not learning from people. You're learning from books only. So what else could it have meant that you would think to say, stay away from? What else could Shonim learning mean? So Ma'adatema Shonim Bechet. Doesn't mean to learn, it means to repeat. The word Shonim doesn't mean to learn, it may mean to repeat sin. Well, we know that Rav Huna has a line, Maseches Yuma. The Kiddushin. Amar Rav Huna, Kevin Sha'avra of Adam Avera. Vishina Ba, over here you see the word Vishina, that's the word Shonim again. Hotirulo. Kamash Hotirulo. Hotirulo. So the Gemara of here that Rav Huna states, the person who does an Avera and then repeats it, it becomes Mutter to him. Just as an aside, the Gemara elsewhere, I guess I'm not here, but the Gemara elsewhere says, really, it's a mutter to you, it doesn't become mutter to you, but rather, it becomes like mutter to you. Once you do it a few times already, you stop thinking about it twice. It becomes that part of your habit. Not that it's actually mutter, but it comes like it's mutter to you. The point is the word shonim, elsewhere, as in the way that Chazal used it, means to repeat. So over here, another possibility it could have meant was, not that you shouldn't spend time with people who are learning, but not engaged in the Mishamish Rebbe. That's what Shonim means. Shonim means they learn halacha, but only with the books, not with people. It also could have meant, Chiddush was, it doesn't necessarily mean that, it could have meant something else. We say it does mean this. But it could have meant someone who does a chet and is shonen and repeats it. As Rav Huna himself states, when a person does an aveira and repeats it, it becomes mutter for him. Kamash Rulan, that our sugya doesn't mean that. It means someone who learns, really does learn halacha, but he learns from a book, not from a person. And therefore, he's not mishamish Rav properly. And Rashi stresses over and over again, if you do that, you're not going to understand the reasons behind mitzvahs, the reasons behind these mishnahs. And at the end of the day, you're going to make mistakes because you didn't really understand what the book really meant. You didn't have the practice. Like when a person does is medical school, they have a period of time when they study books, a period of time when they go on rotations. They follow doctors around. That's a very important part to learn how to apply and how to see on-the-job training. A book is not enough. And over here, same thing when it comes to Torah, not enough to have book smart. You have to actually be mishamish or Rebbe as well. Tana HaTanaim Mavli Olam. It was taught that Tanaim are among those who are cause of destruction of the world. Mark says over here, Mavli Olam, what do you mean they destroy the world? How could that be? Amravina, Shemor Halacha, Bitoch Mishnasan. Again, not people who stam teach, but people who teach from the Mishnah. They get Halacha from the actual text and not from having learned from Rebbeim. Back to our case of not Mishamish, Talmud Chacham. They're Mavli Olam. They're the ones who are destroying the world. And the reason why, Rashi points out of here, but they're giving Pesach Halacha based upon what they read. They don't know what they're talking about, though. They don't understand that sometimes you have to compare it to this and not to that. There are many Mishnayos that that they don't understand also that maybe a Das Yachin. That's not how we paskin. So here they are looking very scholarly and being very, very, very knowledgeable, but only knowing the book smart, not realizing there's a lot behind the scenes that they're not really understanding properly, and that will cause them to give wrong Pesach, and that's why they're Mavli Olam. We've been teaching similar Tanya Mehachi, teaching at sports as well. Oh, sorry, I'm Ravina. Wait, it's time. Tanya Mehachi, we've been teaching at sports as well. I'm Rav Yeshua. Why are we calling Tanya Mavli Olam? Hello, Miyashve Olam Hain. Aren't the people who are actually, they cause the world to be settled, cause the world to be built. Shnemar, Halichos Olam Lo. We say Halichos Olam Lo, that they are like, that learning halacha is Halichos Olam. It's teaching people how to live, how to go in life, how to walk in life, how to live in the world. So why are we calling them? We say a person who's shown halachos, B'chol Yom, is halichos olam lo. You should read it as halachos. It should, the world is around because of them. They're not destroying the world. They're keeping the world going. We say, El Shemor halacha b'toch mishnasan. People who teach halacha but do so without proper understanding what halacha actually means, that's what we're actually referring to over here that are destroying of the world. The Mishnah, if you remember, had four different people that said destroy the world. An Isha Prusha, or we had an Rasha Arum before we already mentioned. We had a Chassid Shota, and we had a child who has not, lived his, that, not, Katan Shalom. Katan. Oh, sorry. We had Makos Prushim. We had a Chassid Shota. We read it to mention already. Remember the Chassid Shota was? Who was the Chassid Shota? Remember last time we had it?
Someone that.
No, that was Russia Arm. What was the Chassid Shota? Woman drowning. He's like, oh, I can't look at her and save her. She's a woman. That's a Chassid Shota. A Russia Arm, as Arum pointed out, different people who give deceitful advice. Now again, it's halakhically halakh advice, but they're using their halakh knowledge to mess someone else over. Whether it be the Yisomim, the daughters of the Yisomim, the daughters of who are also Yisomot, who could get money, but they told the Yisomim to sell beforehand, or two guys make a deal with someone and say, you get first and you get second dibs, and the first guy, you tell the first guy, listen, sell everything you got and it's all yours. I mentioned people who tell a dying what they think in advance. Right, a few different examples we gave of a Russia Aru. Now we're talking about the Isha Prusha and the Katan and the Makos Prushan. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanu is taught Basula. Again, right now about two thirds way down the page, the two dots. Basula Slayanis the Almana Shovavis the Katan Shokalulu Chadashav Hare Ilu Mavle Olam. Three people that could cause the world to be destroyed: a praying Basula, a single girl who davens, who prays, cause balas tefila, says the Gemara, says Rashi, the almana shovavis, a wandering widow, widower, a lady who's who Rashi explains up here, who goes around, is like the neighborhood, the neighbor yenta. She goes from house to house, and we'll see why that's such a big deal in a minute. Rashi here explains that that lady, she's constantly in her neighbor's home. People could start suspecting maybe adultery. She's not married anymore. She's with people's houses. What's she doing over there? Could cause problems. And as well as a katan shalokalo chadashav, a young child whose months have not been completed. Usually that's a lashon used for someone who doesn't survive birth. But well, the Gemara later on will describe what exactly this young child whose months have not been completed yet with that refers to. All these over here are madle olam. Is that true? These are bad things. What do you mean? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lamdeinu, we learned that yiraschet mi besula. We learned how to fear sin from a besula. The kibul schar mi almana. We learned how to get reward from an almana. And we learn, now we're going to describe what each of those means over here. So again, on the one hand, we seem to be suggesting that these are not good things, this davening young girl and this almana. But we're going to learn that there's a kibul schar from an almana. And you learn a tremendous amount of yiraschet from a besula. So why is it over here that we're suggesting that these are mavli olam? Says the Gemara. Your escape from Basula, you learn out your escape from Basula. The Rabbi Yochanan, Shamilah, he Basula. Rabbi Yochanan heard a Basula, the Naflapa. She fell on her face when she was in her davening. And the Kamran, she said the following to Rabbi Yochanan, Barata Gan Eden, Barata Gehenim, Barata Sadiqim, Barata Rishoyim. You created Gan Eden, you created Gehenim, you created Sadiqim, you created Rishoyim. He wrote Somlu Fanecha. So you kashlu bibane Adam, that no one should stumble over me. Meaning, mankind shouldn't look at me. I'm a young girl. No one should be attracted to me, aroused by me, and lose their place in Gan Eden and get Gehenim instead. So we see over here that a davening lady is in fact a very good thing. It's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. Number two, regarding the almana, kibul schar mi almana, that she gets reward. What's that story? The almana davi bei kenishta b'shivuse. There was this almana who had a shul in her community. Shivuse is in her community, in her neighborhood. But every day she would go and she would daven in the Beis Medrash of Yochanan. By the way, you see something interesting over here also, that ladies also went to shul back then, apparently. Women went to shul also. What's that? Yeah, I'm not sure why not, but not anymore is true. A lot of girls don't go to shul. What's that? This is one of Gabe's Gemara's that he quotes. Scarp Sius. So over here, says the Gemara, he says to her, B.T., don't you have community shuls by you? Our relations back to him, Rebbe, you will scarp seals initially. Don't I get reward for traveling, for walking to shul? So you see over here, this is like, on one hand, to go to shul is important. On the other hand, the more steps you take to get to shul, the more schar you get to put yourself out and to, quote unquote, burden yourself in order to get to shul. And therefore, she wanted that scarp seals also. It's a big tzaddikus. So here we are, on one hand, describing that these women are destroying the world, this praying basula, and this wandering around almana. But over here we see that almanas who move around a lot get reward. And a praying basula, we learn tremendous yiras chet from her. So which one is it? Says Gemara, Kiko Amar, when we say this idea that they're mavli olam, go Yochni bas Ritivi. It's like this woman named Yochni, the daughter of Ritivi. What does that mean? Rashi explains that she was an almana, was a machshefa. She was like a sorceress, and she knew how to control things in the world. And one thing she knew how to do was she knew how to stop a woman from giving birth. She could say a chant, stop women from giving birth.
A witch.
And what would happen was is that when women were getting ready to give birth, she would say that she would chant that they wouldn't be able to give birth. They would be stuck. And then she would say, "I am someone who knows how to chant and get people to give birth if it's having a hard time." And they would pay her a lot of money. And she would take away her spell, and they would give birth. And the Rashi here tells a story of one time she had in her house a maid servant who was like working in the house, and she stumbled upon the sorcery that she was doing. She saw what she was doing, and she revealed the secret. But this is a woman. A woman like that is someone, you know, who caused destruction in the world. A woman who's not a tzaddikus. Those women were the ones who really caused Mavle Olam. The last one we mentioned here, we mentioned at least an Almana over here. We mentioned an Almana who's a wandering Almana who knows what everyone's business is, who knows who's giving birth and stops it from happening, and then gets money to daven. They should release the spell. So we understand that one. The young girl who prays, the Gemara doesn't really address that one at all as to what exactly the issue with, you know, with what the issue with her is. Let's see if I can see someone over here. One second. It doesn't really say over here what that one was. But the Gemara wants to address now the third one of that group, which is the katan shlokalu lo chadash. My katan shlokalu chadash. What is this katan who he's not filled his months yet? He's not grown up yet, let's say. So Hacha targimu zetam chacham amnevaet mirabosav. Here, and I guess in Babel, they explained it meant a talmud chacham who rejects mevaet means to kick away. He rejects his rebbeim. Why is he called a katan? Because according to Rashi, he's going to have a shortened lifespan. The Gemara Chagiga brings down that a person who rebels against his elders, against his rebbeim, is going to have a shortened lifespan. So that's why he's called a katan that will not have his months finished. I mean, he won't live out his life. That's one shot. Rabbi Abba says that talmud shlo yigia lahora umora refers to a talmud who does not arrive yet at the stage of psak halacha, and yet he gets psak halacha, meaning he's not there yet. Rashi explains again. It could be referring to someone who's more halacha lefnei rabba, or he's not mishamish talmud chacham. He's not yet arrived at the level when he's ready to give psak halacha, and he offers it anyways. That's considered a katan. He's young. He has not yet experienced his months to be able to be a gadol to give psak, but he gives it anyways. And we see right now Rabbi Vo held this way. What does it mean? My does it mean in the pasuk? Rabim chalalim hipila vatsumim kol harugeha. What does that pasuk mean? Again, kirabim chalalim hipila. That many chalalim, many carcasses were dropped or lost. The word hipila actually also refers to a miscarry. But that a person, again, an inappropriate person, caused many losses. Much people to die. Va'atzumim kol harugeha, and again, she killed many strong ones. What does that refer to? Kirabim chalalim hipila refers to a talmud chacham shlo yigia lahora umora. A person, again, many people were the word hipila over here means like a nafil. Nafil again means someone who has not yet who was delivered too prematurely. You feel over here means it was premature. Many people were suffered due to the premature pass psak. Talmud Chacham, who was not even a Gila Ra, but gives psak anyways. And the Atsumim Kol Ra refers to a Talmud Chacham, she Gila Ra, Vein Amora. The word Atsum means like to close. To close also means psak means strong, means close your eyes, says Rashi. A person who closes their eyes to psak, they can get psak, but they choose not to. So a person who could have Talmud Chacham, she Gila Ra, but it's not yet Mora. It's not yet Gib Sakalacha. And by the way, it's an interesting point. How does one know when he's at the point to Gib Sakalacha? That's what you're a Bamer for. So if you're Mishamish Talmud Chacham properly, then you understand. You ask, you learn those lessons from Talmud Chacham. Of when do I Gib Sak? When is it too early for me? When is it already past my time when I should be already starting to Gib Sak? That's learned also from Rebbeim. So you hear a very, very important idea that part of the Torah learning process is not time learning books. Being Mishamish Rebbe, it's a very significant part, and it's maybe even the most important part. Because if you have book smarts, then the mistake could be made to actually trust and rely on you when you shouldn't be relied on. If you had no smarts at all, then no one's relying on you anyways, and therefore everyone's safe. The smarter you are, the less ability you have to give sock, but you give it anyways, that's even more dangerous than knowing nothing at all. An ignorant person is less dangerous than a knowledgeable person who doesn't know enough to really give sock, because everyone relies on them. V'yadkama, since we're on top of my base now, V'yadkama means at what age now is it assumed that it is enough to give sock? Adar Banshin, 40 years. 40 years old. People say 40 years old is the time to study Kabbalah. 40 years is a level of maturity when you've seen enough in your lifetime to be able to give psak. Ah, Yini, is that true? But Rabba Ori, but Rabba gave psak. And Rashi tells us here that Rabba didn't live even. He only lived till 40 years old. He died at 40 because he was from the Beit that they chose the family of Eli. And Eli, we know, it was cursed that his children would not live many years. And Rabba, therefore, he didn't live past 40, says Rashi. And yet he was a posek, so how could that be? Where it says Bishavim, it's different if you're equal. What does it mean equal? It means two options of Rashi. Either means equal knowledge, same knowledge as Goli Ador, Bechachma, you have an extra level of knowledge. Okay, so then maybe you can give Psak. Or Bishavim, Rashi's the second shot, which is that everyone in that town was young, meaning everyone was young. So as the Mishnah almost brings down, but Makam Shin Anashim, Yishadal Yos Ish. No one else is around, then you should become the man. No one else is a man to Psak. So give Psak, you give Psak. If it comes your way. But otherwise, it's first not give sakistan. Okay, last part of the Gemara we see today, so the Mishnah says the Gemara makos prushin. We mentioned again that whatever this means, extra makos, meaning being a parif, being someone who's quote unquote super removed or super holy, super separated from everyone else. If you get makos because you're that person, you're also mavli olam. You hate yourself. We said self flagellation. You show demonstrate yourself to be a big tzaddik. That also causes the world to be destroyed. What is that? Tenorban. Shiva Prushanain. There are seven types of people who are parish, who are, again, they go to the extreme to demonstrate their being separatists, They're not like the rest of the world. And again, many of them we say are bad things. Parash Shichmi, we're going to just say the word now. We're going to define them later on. Parash Nakfi, Parash Kizai, Parash Meduchia, Parash Machovasi, etc. Parash Me'ava, Parash Me'ira. Those are the seven Prushim, people who, again, who are separatists. They separate from other people. They're very different from other people because of this Mida. What does each one mean? Let's see inside each one. Parash Shichmi, Za Osa Masa Shchem, like from the word Shchem. Like they do Maisim like Shchem. They're Prushim like Shchem. What does that mean? Shchem, we know. Who got a bris mila, we got Shchem and Chamor. They wanted to marry Dina and the rest of the Jewish people into their community, into their people. And they got bris mila, but for all the wrong reasons. Lo Shem Shemayim. Parashichmi is someone who does a Maisim that are Maisim of Prushim, of separatists, who can be very pious, but it's for all the wrong reasons. Lo Shem Shemayim. We know, again, we mentioned in the past, that they, it's a very serious thing to be doing mitzvahs, lo Hashem Shemayim. Do we have this line over here? I see Tosfos here quotes it. I don't know where it's about here. Okay, wait a minute. Fine. That's one type of fruition that are not appropriate. Next one is Parash Nakfi. What does that mean? It means that man keep his regular love. Person who knocks his legs together. What does it mean, he knocks his legs together? It means he walks like dragging his feet. The way Rashi explains over here, he's banging his legs by dragging him on the ground. Like he walks in a super, super humble way, like very lowly, dragging his feet on the ground. But it's more than that. I mean, you're definitely doing it because you're trying to show yourself to be like a humble person. You walk around that way. So again, that's not the way to walk around. It's not, you're demonstrating a level of precious, but it's not really a true level of precious. You're just kind of, you're more show. You're doing it more at a show. It's not something that you're lazy or lethargic. It's more like you're trying to demonstrate a level of like humility. Parash Kizai, what does that refer to? Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Zav, Mikis Dam L'Ketalim. Mikis Dam is someone who lets blood. Letting blood mean, it was back in the day, as the way people would try to heal themselves. If someone was sick, they would think that if they let blood out of their body, that would create maybe new blood coming in. An influx of new blood would give them a healing. And therefore, there would be Makis Dam. But here it's talking about Makis Dam L'Ketalim. They would let blood would come out of their body because they bang into walls. What does that mean? They'll look at women, they close their eyes, look at women, psh, they hit that thing. That's a silly type of precious. It's an inappropriate precious. You know, you're banging your head on the wall, you're banging your knee on the wall, banging your head on the wall because you're not looking in front of you unless there be a woman around you. That's a precious. That's not the appropriate way of precious. It's a little extreme. Parash Meduchia. A parash Meduchia means like a pestle, like a mortar and a pestle. It's what you take when you want to, let's say, smash down some spices, let's say. So you have a mortar and a pestle, you have the kli, the mortar and the pestle, what you bang the spices with to grind it up. So what's that parash mean? I'm Rabbi Barashila, the mishpa ki niduchya. That mishpa means like you walked over, bent over, like a pestle. A pestle, again, is something that had like it was very top heavy. It had a very big top to it where you would bang the spices, wherever you were trying to grind up. So you would like have your head like leaning down, again, a demonstration of a level of humility, but something that seemed to be a little bit out of place. Parush, machovasi vesen, a person who's parush, and he would be known to someone who said, what do I want me to do? And I will do it. Whereas over here, Hamal Yasi, what's wrong with that? It sounds like a good thing. What do you want me to do? And I'll do it. Why is that something that we look down upon? We say it's precious, it's not good. Which is Ella rather, what is he saying? Ella Damar, Machavasi Su Vesana. What more can I do? And I will do it. What does it mean when you say it that way? What more can I do? And I'll do it. It means like I've done so much already. What else can I do? Say, what can I do for you? I'm happy to do whatever I can for you. That's a great thing to say. But what more can I do for you? It means I've done so much already. It's a level of God, even though you're trying to be humble and helpful, the level of gaiva. Meaning, I've done so much already, that what else can I do besides this? That's the level of gaiva. Where that says, parush me'ava, parush me'ira. How about those two things? What's wrong with those two? I'm really abai, the Rava, latana, lotisni, parush me'ava, parush me'ira. No one should, that should not be the list of things that are bad. Even if you do it, me'ava means, that says Rashi, that you like schar mitzvahs. That you don't do it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you do because you want the reward. Or Mira means that you're afraid of punishment. Those might not be fully the same Shemayim, but those aren't bad. That shouldn't be listed of these seven things that are considered Mavli Olam, that are bad things. Those two, though they may not be L'chadchila, It's okay. Those levels should not be written in the Mishnah, things that you should avoid, that you destroy the world of that attitude. The Amar Yudam Rav, the Olam Yasuk Adam Torah Mitzvos, Filisholishma. We know a person should do Torah mitzvahs even for the wrong reasons. Because even for the wrong reasons come the right reasons. Eventually will come the right reasons. Now, there's two types of wrong reasons. I mentioned you guys before, and I'm not sure if I mentioned you or not, but Lishma, we mentioned before, of people who do things to fight, to cause strife and arguments, versus doing things because you're not there yet to be fully L'shem Shemayim. So the second way is good. And therefore, if you do things out of Ava, you want the reward to come along with it. Or out of Yira, you're afraid of getting punished, so that's not the best way to do it. That should not be listed in the Ramavli Olam. That's not a terrible way to act either. Amar of Nachmar Yitzchak, Dimitra, Dimitamra, Mitamra, Udmegalia, Megalia, Beidina Rabbal, Dispara, Mehani, Dechafu, Gundi. Which means those things that are hidden are hidden. The things that are revealed, Megalia, are revealed. And both of them, Beidina Rabba, which means the Beidina Gadol, which means to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything is revealed. Lispara mehani dechafu gundi. It's known. It's lispara. I mean, you'll be paid back. You'll be judged from those who are dechafu gundi, who rub against the wall, who bang against the wall. Which means again, people who are doing actions that look like they're bitzadikim, but in the end they're fakers. They're players. So here, basically, all this gemara we just read that people are prushim. It seems so separate, so pious, so careful. Because Baruch Hu knows which people are really careful, which people are in it for the show. And therefore, whether it's hidden or it's revealed, the Beis Din of the Rabba, Beis Din of Shemayim, it's all known, it's all clear. And Hashem will, whoever that Beis Din is, will Hashem will pay those back. Hashem will reward or punish those who are rubbing against the wall, banging against the wall, we mentioned earlier on, as a sign of tzitkus, when in fact it's just a show. Finally, last part of the Gemara, a very powerful Gemara. Amrullah Yane Malko Idvese. Yane the king said to his wife, Yane was someone who killed all the chavim. The Gemara usually brings down his story. He killed, what's that? Yane was a king, a Jewish king, and he killed all the chavim. And the reason why was that they didn't he wanted to have certain power, they didn't give him that power, and he killed him. When he was about to die, his wife, who was the sister of Shimon ben Shetach, so she got very nervous at the Prushim, which are the people who are actually Tadikim, not these fake Prushim we mentioned just now, of the Parashikhmi, Parashnakhmi, the real Prushim. People were very, very big Tadikim. She was afraid they were going to take out their anger on her and her children. You know, she thought, again, he was a king, and his children, meaning her children, should become kings afterwards. And she was afraid that the Prushim would not respect their family line. Because after all, the king himself, the Yanai, destroy them. So she was worried. So Yana, before he dies, says the following thing. He says to her, Al titar'i, tatir'i min aprushim, lo misha in aprushim. Do not be afraid of those who are tzaddikim, real tzaddikim, and those who are not tzaddikim. Don't be afraid of either one of those two. The non-tzaddikim, Rashi here says, they like me, because I'm a bad guy also. So they're friends with me, they'll be okay with you kicking over with your children. And the tzaddikim are tzaddikim, meaning they know you didn't do anything wrong. I did. I was bad to them, but I'm leaving the world right now, and you did nothing wrong to them. They're not going to be upset with you either, or your children, or our children. But be upset instead, and make me have tzivonim. Tzivonim are people who are colorful people. What does that mean? Meaning it's all external. Shadoma the Prushim, they pretend to be like the Prushim. We mentioned above all the people here who are Prushim. They pretend, they seem like Prushim to you. I mean, they act in a way where they're showing themselves to be real, you know, God-fearing people, but the reality is that that's not real. And therefore, they may take a big stance against you because they're not tzaddikim, but they pretend to be. So they may fight against you to show that they're Purushim, but they're actually not. Real Purushim would never fight you because they know you don't do anything that I did. And rather, Shemaseim Kimasa Zimri, Mavakshin Skar Kapinchas, the unbelievable line, very powerful line. Their behavior is the behavior of Zimri. We know the story of Zimri, Cosby and Zimri, who one was a Midian lady, the other one was one in the seam of Bnei Israel, and they committed a public act of sexual immorality. And we know Pinchas came along, the story of Pinchas, he was a Kanai, and he stabbed them, he put them on like a shish kebab, he killed them. So here he says, here they are doing Mice and Zimri, and they want to scar like Pinchas, which is a great line. So they're behaving in a way that's inappropriate, and yet they pretend like they should deserve a lot of credit for what they're doing. That's what you should be afraid of. Be afraid of the fakers. Again, people are really tzaddikim, they're not going to be bothered by you because they know it wasn't you who did it and it wasn't your children who did it. I did it, and I'm dying, so they're not going to give you a hard time. And the bad guys who are clearly bad anyways, they like me because I'm bad, they're bad, we're teammates. They're not going to give you a hard time either. But the fakers, tzivonim, they're going to give you a hard time because they act like they're tzaddikim. I mean, they want to pretend like they are, but they're really not. So they're not going to have the righteousness to not go after you and protest you're being a king, or your children being kings, our children being kings. But they pretend that they are like that, and therefore you have a hard time with them. Those are what you be most careful about. We'll stop over here. We're going to...